Welcome to bourbonblog.com, Makers 46. It's one of the biggest stories in bourbon right now. We welcome to the microphones here on bourbonblog.com, master distiller of Maker's Mark, Kevin Smith. Welcome, Kevin.
Hi, Tom. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I'll be even better when I get to Makers 46.
Well, be patient. It should be there soon. Here it is, the first part of July. It's just after the holidays, and I think that probably slowed down the distribution a little bit.
Is Makers 46 out? Where can we find it?
Yes, and maybe. I think you'll probably be seeing Makers 46 hit the shelves this week and next, so be on the lookout for it. It's a fun product, Makers 46. We're real excited about it.
How excited are you, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm real excited. I'm kind of just like stunned, to be frank with you. I mean, the response, the excitement, the whole rollout of this thing is just kind of blowing me away. I never anticipated the excitement would be this big.
You know, we're all about reviewing bourbon on bourbonblog.com. If you were to do a review of your original Maker's Mark, what sort of notes would you give us?
Well, the original Maker's Mark is a unique product that, you know, like a lot of great bourbons, brings out these great characteristics of grain and wood, and it's probably going to give you a unique perspective. It's unlike a lot of other whiskeys, though, and bourbons themselves as a category are over on one side. Maker's Mark has a sweet vanilla caramel aroma. There's some toffee notes that are in there, almost creme brulee. And I hate to get too fancy and things like that, but there's a real confectionery aroma. One of the things that Mr. Samuel set out to create was a bourbon that when you took in the aroma, it actually enticed you to want to try and take the sip. You know, it wasn't one of these things that was going to cause you to, you know, strap yourself in, put on your crash helmet, and force that drink down. That was his old family whiskey. So you're going to get a really rich aroma of sweet caramel and vanilla. Then when you taste it, the interesting thing is the nose and the taste match, and you're going to get these deep, rich, bourbon-esque flavors that are really highlighted with that vanilla and caramel coming from the wood. You're going to get these incredible, lasting flavors that are out on the tip of the tongue. I don't want to say sweet because it is a bourbon from the standpoint that it's not candy, but you're going to get more of those mellow flavors that you get because of the soft red winter wheat that we use and not a harsh bite of overaged or really spicy rye.
But what you're doing is a virtual side-by-side comparison to the Makers and the Makers 46. So now on to Makers 46. We'll pretend as though we're drinking it right now.
All right. And what you would see here is the nose has got a little bit more depth to it in terms of it's got a sweet, toasty oak aroma. Not a smoky flavor, but sweet, toasty, kind of like a warming, but a little more rich wood flavor. The caramel and vanilla notes are a little bit more amped up, a little bigger, if you will. And then after you taste this, what you end up with is a little bit more of a lingering, spicy, almost baking cinnamon spice, not really peppery, but it could be kind of like that, dancing on the tongue that is amped up and forward. Still has got that Maker's Mark, but it's very unique. You don't see this flavor come through in other bourbons. It's not like Maker's Mark, but it's familiar. It's kind of like a family resemblance. But because of those seared French oak staves that we finished the Makers with, man, you end up with this really interesting baking spice, tactile feel on the front of the tongue that lasts a little bit longer. Actually, the Maker's flavor typically comes to a crescendo, reaches the top, and then kind of softly fades away. This actually hits that crescendo, then opens up. It's a little edgier, a little bit sharper, if you will, and it kind of, you know, gives you a little bit longer finish. So that's kind of the quick virtual way I would try to describe it before you tasted it.
And what's the feedback like? I mean, you've told me a little bit along with that was wonderful, by the way. Thank you, because that certainly helps people that are fixing to try some Makers 46. They haven't got their hands on a bottle yet to know what it's like. But what sort of feedback are you getting now that it is out, or it's beginning to be out, and it's actually out in some markets right now? It's out on the East Coast. It's in some markets right now.
It's in some of the control states only because we went out into those markets a little bit earlier because they're a little more rigid about how the distribution has to take place. But we have had a few bottles that have snuck out through different channels. You can't actually pick up a bottle at the distillery. We're selling it down here now. And the feedback has been, wow, that's yummy is another word that's come out of people's mouths. Different and different and not bad. and it's really been well received. I mean, I will tell you, I've had calls from people that are associated with the Food Network that are, you know, Iron Chef type people that have called me and have actually gotten a bottle of this, and they said, this is incredible, this is great. So I think it's really neat. I don't think it's better than Maker's Mark. I don't think anybody's actually even saying that, wow, that's better than Maker's. I'm actually getting a lot of people saying, wow, I didn't know that you could actually create a flavor that would look like this without those other, you know, back palate flavors. So it's being well received, well received.
That's great. Can you tell us which Iron Chefs like it?
Well, I would be probably stepping on my own toes if I did, because I haven't been able to get a bottle to every Iron Chef. So at this point in time, I'm going to leave that to be a bit of a clouded mystery. But I will just say there's one that has become a big Maker's fan over the years, and he does call me occasionally. That's as far as I'll go, Tom.
I think I may know who it is, but okay. We'll end that there. That's very cool, though, to get so much great feedback from the foodies, from people that really love what you do.
And the bar people, too. I've had some bar folks that have, you know, out of Chicago and some of the bigger cities that have just been raving about it. So
Kentucky.
Yeah, I encourage everybody to go out and at least, if you don't want to buy a bottle, at least come down to the distillery, take a tour, and try a little sample of it down here.
Absolutely. And it's out in Kentucky, Anna, this week, already on the East Coast, some controlled states. When will it be out everywhere? But like by what, you have a date?
I would say by the middle of this month, you should find it in just about every region of the United States. The question will be how long will it stay on the shelves. I'm afraid it's going to go quickly. Don't fear. We're going to make more. It takes time. I got to wait till it cools off a little bit. I'm not comfortable making it in this intense heat, and it's a really hot summer. I'm going to do some experiments this summer to see if we can replicate the flavor, but I do like it to be a little less intense heat, because I think it's going to potentially shoot past some of the fine age notes that I picked up over the slow weekly process of checking. I'm afraid we could end up with too much sour and not the right combination, but we'll check it, Tom.
I know you will, and you do a fantastic job with it. I think it's a delicious product. I'm trying to think of my next. You said something, and I was like, "Oh, I have a good question." Well, here's something to think about. I mean, you know, obviously, there's I know the story behind this, but there's talk. People are saying, "Why is it called Maker's 46? Is that the number of pours you can get out of it, or is that the proof, the alcohol content? What is the actual story behind why it is called Maker's 46?"
Yeah, and that was kind of left to be a thing to talk about. We have to give a lot of credit to Brad Boswell, fourth generation barrel maker, president of Independence Dave, friend of ours, and self-proclaimed wood chef. What Brad has done over the years is he's come up with different natural processes to amplify or to bring about the characteristics, natural characteristics of the wood. For example, bringing out a spiciness, bringing out vanilla, bringing out toastiness, bringing out smoke flavors, whatever it might be, in wood that he uses. And he does that through three basic processes of combining different varieties of oak or using different types of oak, seasoning or air drying or conditioning the wood in a natural process to amplify that, and then the heating process. Well, for all those different little things, you can start thinking about different combinations, whatever. He has recipes, or he calls them profiles. Well, the profile typically has a number or description. You know, even the Maker's Mark barrels, he's got a profile for how that's constructed and made. It's kind of like the recipe, if you will. Well, on these little slats, these little stays, these French oak pieces of wood, they're aged for 18 months and then seared, he actually had a number, profile 46. So when you see Maker's 46, it's a nod of the Maker's Mark being introduced and allowed to age a little while with these profile 46 stays, hence the name Maker's 46.
Well, it's delicious, and what a neat story. And what is the proof on Maker's 46?
It's going to be 94 proof. It's just a little higher proof, but it's going to be one of the things that people continue to say to me is, "Oh, that's lower proof than Maker's Mark." And I'm like, no, it's actually higher. It's not much, but it's a little higher. And the reason they think that it tastes lower is because the oak additional time spent with those staves actually brings about a creaminess, I think, that actually makes it seem just a bit more mellow. There's something interesting that happens there. So, yeah, it's 94 proof, Maker's 46. It's it's something that everyone's got to try at least once.
Or just keep trying.
Or just at least once. And I guess if you try it once, I think you'll try it again.
It's kind of like Frito-Lay almost.
Well, you can't eat just one. I mean, Lay's.
Exactly. Or it's Lay's.
Well, I don't know about that. But, yeah, I think people should be excited about trying it. It's a very special, unique cousin to Maker's Mark.
Absolutely. And we saw the first dipping we broadcasted live on bourbonblog.com, live streaming video of you and Brad Boswell and Bill Samuels, CEO of Maker's Mark, and also Kentucky Governor Steve Beshear was dipping the bottles along with y'all.
Yeah, he's not bad. Tell you what, after his next term is over, we might actually, if he doesn't have anything going on, might put him to work down here.
Now, let me ask you this. If you did put him to work down there doing your job for a day, if he dipped some bottles, I know your job's not really dipping bottles, but let's just say he was working at Maker's Mark for a day and you were governor for a day, what would be the first thing on your agenda, Kevin?
Lower the taxes. Are you kidding me? That's an easy one. That's an easy one. And I'd probably change the tasting bill to make it a little bit easier for us to share the great bourbon products with folks in a nice, legal, safe fashion, I must add. But no, I think our governor is doing a great job. He's a big friend of the bourbon industry. He's always trying to help us, and he can't control all the things that happen in the state. But the governor is a great friend to the bourbon industry and to Maker's Mark.
And so he's supporting lowering the taxes and doing the whole tasting bill thing that's good for the bourbon industry, right?
I tell you what he's big on. He wants to support the bourbon industry so that we can increase tourism, that we can showcase Kentucky, that we can showcase its fine products and the products are made by its people, so that he's able to really bring about, and in an international perspective, Tom, the great products that come out of Kentucky, of which one of them is bourbon and Maker's Mark. He's a big fan of that. He's got to do what he's got to do in regards to running the state, but I will tell you, he's a big fan of this state, the Commonwealth, and glad to have him on our team.
Well, if I was running a state, I'd sure want some Maker's Mark beside me.
Well, I do believe that he is a responsible drinker, but he is a fan of bourbon. There's no doubt about it.
What do you think is going to happen with that? I mean, that's sort of a different issue, but, you know, the whole tasting bill, what are your thoughts? What do you think will happen? Because you got, like, the World Equestrian Games, which you all are one of the you all are the official bourbon of. I mean, what do you think will happen?
Well, I do think that, you know, the rules that they have in place are probably need to be updated to reflect the modern times, not post-prohibition era. I do think that there's a lot of charities that benefit, and we're still able to interact with charities, but it's a very fine line how it works. And the bourbon industry has always been supportive of a lot of the local charities as well as more nationally recognized charities to help bring entertainment, if you will, to those charities to bring folks in to help raise money. But I think in the long run, the majority of the folks that were voting on it, things got caught up, the politics thing, and it kind of too much was going through at one time, and there was other issues that actually caused the bill to stall out and fail. I think it will just take a little time, and they'll get it all resolved. But people need to hear that it is not going to cause all sorts of people to get free whiskey to drink, and that's just not what happens. It's a very controlled issue, a very respected process by which we allow people to have, you know, small samples to recognize the differences between these great Kentucky bourbons.
Free whiskey? Kevin, if I was running the state, that would be the first thing on my agenda would be free whiskey for everyone of legal age.
Probably got elected through the promise of free whiskey. But in this case, no, you know, this is supposed to be something that allows you to sample it in a very controlled and moderate way so that you can really understand what makes it taste so good. So,
and I completely, all joking aside, I completely understand it. And I have really enjoyed having some samples in my life because I've been able to get to know more about all the different bourbons, and I think that it's exactly the way it should be.
You can still come to the distilleries. It's still legal to come to the distilleries, and you can have a small sample of our products when you come here. If you're of legal drinking age, it means you're over 21, and you'll get a little tasting ticket. You'll get a small little half-ounce sample of our products. You get two half-ounce samples, and you can actually even try the Maker's 46 if you come to the distillery.
Now, that's a good selling point. You can try the new Maker's 46 and the original Maker's.
Correct, yes, side by side.
Side by side. Obviously, Maker's Mark has some really brilliant marketing. I mean, you know, I love the ads. Everyone seems to love the ads. But there's something really, I think, Kevin, especially working with y'all for the last several years, that it's just not the marketing. It's just not the red wax. There's really something about the story of Maker's Mark and how it's grown the last 10, 15, 20 years that really has become so embedded in the American culture. I mean, a Maker's Mark is truly an American icon. You know,
I think you're being kind to us in some regards. I think we still got a lot of work to do to let people know about it. It probably has a lot to do with the values and really where we came from. Even just to kind of look at how we developed the Makers 46, when we set about trying to meet this market demand, our consumers telling us they needed something different, and Bill Samuels wanted to kind of continue his legacy, if you will, we set about doing it the same way his dad did it. Starting off with, this is what we want it to taste like. This is what winning looks like. Ever doing that well before we actually even started the experiments, doing that well before we interacted with Brad, doing that well before we had a name or a bottle or even, you know, the whole wax concept, we created the taste of the whiskey. And I think what's kind of embedded in that is that there's some, you know, when it's real and you actually did it, it was so much easier to actually do the rest of it. And I think probably that speaks volumes. I think a lot of times we don't take ourselves seriously. We take the production of the whiskey, the bourbon serious, you know, the quality serious, all the things that go into it as seriously as we possibly can. But we don't take ourselves real serious. And I think people identify with that real characteristic of, you know, who Maker's Mark, what Maker's Mark is. And when people come here, I think it cements that bond, and that creates a lot of loyal following. And we wouldn't be where we are today if it weren't for all the Maker's Mark ambassadors, those people that are just big fans of Maker's Mark. And even today, as I look out the window, as people have been walking by, this place has just been packed with visitors, and the summer's as busy as ever, and we're just so proud to be able to offer up these free tours down here where people can come visit. And I just think also part of it is, Tom, that we've got the bourbon. Bourbon is in its prime. This is a great time to be in the bourbon business, a great time to be a bourbon connoisseur. I think Maker's 46 is opening the doors to maybe even some other interesting finishes on bourbon. We'll see what happens. I think it's all fun. It's great.
How is Maker's 46 going to bring you all into a new era? I mean, are we going to be seeing some other experimental collections? Does this mark a new era for Maker's Mark?
I think about every 50 years we do something different. So maybe we got another 50 years in us before we do something again. I think maybe we might be done with the bourbon stuff for a while. I don't think we're into whole lot of other expressions. I really do think that this probably is what we wanted to create, and it wasn't meant to create flavors of the month. It was really meant to create a unique, special, probably in some regards a different type of production of bourbon, this whole finishing process, you know, kind of changing the way bourbons can actually taste might be the better way to say it. So, no, I'm not expecting. I will just say this. I'm not working on anything right now. How's that?
It's Kevin Smith, a master distiller for Maker's Mark Bourbon. We're talking about the new Maker's Mark 46, which is just getting so much buzz, and everyone wants to get their hand on a bottle, but if you don't get your hand on the bottle this time, there'll be another batch coming. When is it, Kevin?
We hope to have some for the holidays. There should be another release that'll be coming out hopefully the fall. We actually have got some barrels that we've held, we've bottled up, and they're sitting here waiting. We wanted to release it in two waves if we could, because we weren't sure how well it would be received in the marketplace. But we will have some for the fall, and then maybe even, hopefully, if we can get a batch put back, we might even have some for the holidays as well.
I mean, I could completely feel when I first had that with you, when we first did that interview, as the very first sit-down interview that any media outlet done with you back in February. Bourbon Blog did, I completely got a little bit of Christmas note in that cinnamon, in that, you know, it's like it kind of has a Christmassy flavor a little bit to me. Let me tell you, it just came to me what we might do with you guys is 46 ways to enjoy Maker's 46. Has anybody done that yet?
No, they haven't. That'd be very interesting.
Kevin, we're going to do it. We're going to do 46 different ways.
Well, I like it on ice. There's way number one. You know what? I was in Texas about 2 weeks ago. It was at Dean Fairing's restaurant at the Ritz-Carlton. We had sent a couple cases down to Dean. He's a big bourbon fan. He's from Kentucky. He's got a big restaurant down there in Texas and Dallas. So we sent him through the distributor a couple cases and went down there. And in his bar, he had Maker's 46 back there. It was the first place I'd actually seen it. And I ordered my first drink there. And I ordered... He gave me a Maker's 46 on the rocks, and it was absolutely fantastic.
That is great. You're awesome. I love what you do. You're great. Thank you so much, Kevin.
You're welcome, Tom.